Hello! Welcome to Schmodio. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the unceded and stolen Musqueam territory on UBC campus. My name is Ruby Raven. I'm your host, and welcome to Schmodio. Formally, not my first Schmodio, but we're getting classier. We're shortening. We're tailoring, and we've become Schmodio, aka Schmo Radio. I am here today with my editor. Hello, Stella.
Hello, Ruby. How's it going?
Ah, so good. How are you?
I don't know. I don't even know if this is working, but we're good. We're good.
We're good. There were some glitches this morning, but you know what? Life is all about ups and downs.
Yep.
You know, so whenever I'm like, I'm in a down, there's going to be an up soon, you know? But we made it. We're here. We're on air. Today is very exciting because we have been working on this new season of Schmodio for a really long time. I got my editor Stella and producer Callum, and we are just really excited that it's finally happening.
The rebrand has been in the works for a while,
yes.
And now we're here. Now we've crossed the finish line,
yes.
So it's pretty good.
It feels exciting. So today on this episode, we have two guests. We have Angie St. Mars and Brianna Jurgen. Harmela interviewed Brianna Jurgen, who is a social media mental health and wellness expert who's come on to talk about her new book called Delusion Reversed. But before that, we're going to hear an interview from Angie St. Mars. Angie is a comedian who I saw perform as a part of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. And you'll hear she's very funny. She has a new show out on Bell 5, which I will plug during the interview. So let's hear this interview with Angie St. Mars. Ruby from 2 weeks ago, take it away. Angie St. Mars is a Canadian stand-up comedian. She's the host of a show called Ghost Kitchen, which airs on Bell 5 TV, which premieres today, May 12th. And she'll be touring Alberta starting June 1st. Welcome, Angie!
Hey, thank you for having me!
Thank you so much for joining. The reason why I wanted to have you on the show is because I saw you as a part of the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Sasha Mark, who I interviewed and who's a stand-up in the city, and if you know stand-up in Vancouver, you'll probably know Sasha Mark, or they had a show for friends, right? So there were like a bunch of friends from Winnipeg, where they're from, and you were one of them. And there was one joke in particular that stuck in my mind, and I hope it's okay that I can share it on the radio, but I want to tell you which one I really connected to. So it was a joke where you said, when I was a teenage girl, all I would think is, God, no one wants to fuck me. Like, I'm just a teenage girl that nobody wants to fuck. Little did I know, there's all these laws put in place because actually everyone wants to fuck you. And I was like, that actually is my experience of being a teenage girl and then being a young adult woman. And I was like,
yes.
Oh, like that's funny.
Oh, nailed it. If I knew then what I know now, yeah. I mean, it's honestly good I didn't, because who knows the shenanigans that I would have gotten into. But I just remember the painful preteen years of being like, will anyone ever find me attractive?
I know.
And the lip glosses that you buy and the just so tense, and the way you feel about your body. And then you just hit an age, whenever that is, maybe different for different women. You come into your own, you're an adult, and you realize, like, oh, I could just leave the house and find someone who wants to have sex with me within 2-3 blocks tops. Like, it's not a big deal. And yet, worrying about whether or not anyone would ever find me attractive consumed so much of my young life. I can't believe it.
That's something that, like, me and my friends are starting to, like, realize, and we're like, wait a minute, we don't actually have to like wear pants that give us stomach aches all the time. Like, we can wear comfortable pants. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Anyways, let me circle back to your stand-up career. But that's why I wanted to have you on my show, is because I just connected to it so much. So I want to start at the beginning. You're a stand-up in Winnipeg and Toronto and all over Canada. How did you get into stand-up in Winnipeg? Because it does seem like there is sort of a thriving underground comedy scene happening there.
Totally. I think there absolutely is. And yet it's this kind of thing where I didn't even know stand-up was happening in the city until I stumbled into it. And then it was like, oh, there's this whole scene and there's mics all over the city and shows and there's comedians who are so good. But I had no idea until I was doing some work at Manitoba Playwrights Association. And I made friends with a guy who was a stand-up comedian. And then he introduced me to a couple of his friends who were stand-up comedians. And I started going and hanging out with them. And then eventually I wanted to do it because another comedian, Dana Smith, who is just a hilarious, really talented woman who I met back then and now live with, total success story, total glow up story of how I interviewed her for my radio show. And then I wanted to know her so badly. She was starting this women's open mic comedy night, the first ever one. And she was like, you're going to come, right? You're going to do it. And I was like, yeah. Like, you ever, you know, lie because you want someone to be your friend and think yeah. you're cool. So you're just like, oh, obviously that's, I'm not afraid. Not afraid at all. Of course I could do that. So I did. And then I just never stopped. And that was probably like quite a few years ago in Winnipeg. And now fast forward, we moved to Toronto together, still doing comedy, and we live together and we do a show together out here. So it was very fateful.
What's your show about?
Our show is called Sisters Fighting on Stage. And that's the vibe that we strive to bring to it. We are just best friends that we sometimes co-host it together, or sometimes one of us headlines. I'm headlining here May 18th. And it's just the vibe we bring. You know each other so well. We are best friends. We live together. So that's kind of like, it's just a loosey-goosey, bizarre, fun kind of show where we always ask comics who we love to be around, and we've had just like the most fun at the show so far.
Yeah. And what, like, how would you describe stand-up in Canada in general? Because we're sort of in the shadow of the States, obviously, in like the entertainment sphere. So what does it look like from your perspective?
I think that this is like a hot topic. It's like a contested topic, because when you get to different levels of professionalism in comedy, there's really different feelings about going to the States. Like, oh, it's so difficult to really get in there as a comedian, and really that's the goal. And some people would tell you that we should try to get in there almost immediately, because otherwise you're doing this thing where you're restarting your career in city after city, which is like what I'm doing now. When I moved from Winnipeg to Toronto this fall, I had to start again in a lot of ways, you know, make all new contacts, get people to let me on their shows, you know, get stage time, try to find a spot to produce shows, all those things, get known. I had to start doing quite a few years into doing comedy, and I always felt like I should have started that sooner. And then anyways, you move here and you see also a wave of people is just leaving right now to move to actually quite a few people move to England, other people are moving to LA, other people move to New York, so it can be just like an ongoing thing. But I think it is quite difficult to get into the States to do it. So I guess I would say, if you can be happy doing comedy in Canada, that's great. And it can be difficult to do it, to solely do comedy in Canada. You kind of have to carve out your own path and make your own projects and maybe get lucky and do a mix of different things, you know, acting and produce your own stuff, whatever route you take kind of thing. But I don't know. I love doing comedy in Canada. I think that there's like just some of the most incredibly funny comedians in Canada right now, who most of the time also happen to be very nice people. I don't know how that works out. So I always have a good experience. Like when I was in Vancouver, going and hanging out with other Vancouver comedians, I love the Vancouver comedy scene. I find it so friendly. I'm always like meeting people and being like, damn, I wish I lived in the same city as you. I feel like we would be natural friends. So I guess for me, looking at it from that, like, I'm not too grizzled about it yet. I still really, really, really enjoy it. I'm a big fan of it. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
How did you get on to host Kitchen Ghosts?
Oh, the Kitchen Ghosts. I like that. It's Ghost Kitchens, but you know what? Kitchen Ghosts is really sweet.
Oh, sorry. I was backwards in my notes.
Yeah. So
how did you, because you mentioned luck, right? Was that a part of it?
God, I think that's a part of everything. Yeah. I think it's really hard to say where you're going to wind up and the seeds you plant now, what they're going to grow into years from now. So that, I think, began a few years ago. I was producing a monthly show at a venue called Wee Johnny's in Winnipeg. And I could do whatever I wanted with that monthly show, which was a true gift. And I had so much fun doing all these weird themed shows, like a best friend show where I would give everyone in the audience friendship quizzes and like pair them up with a best friend by the end of the show, or like spooky stories. So I did this show called like, Are You Afraid of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, where I had comedians and paranormal experts come in and tell scary stories on stage in honor of my favorite time of year, Halloween. And one of the people I had on this show was Nate Flamin, who's a writer and just a very funny guy, but he was a little bit anxious about doing stuff on stage. And so he made his stage debut. He told this incredibly spooky, funny story, and he told it so well. It was such a hit. People still talk to me about him doing that show. And then years later, Nate was working with Folks Films, who are this like amazing Winnipeg-based film company, and they asked me to do Ghost Kitchens, mm-hmm. Which Nate was the writer on. So I think it was this really cool story of like cultivating your own projects because you love that. I love spooky stuff and I love comedy. So I made that show and it was like the most fun I had at a show. I met Nate. I loved Nate. And then years later, it turned into us working on another Folks Film project and then eventually morphed into this show they wrote and pitched to Five TV, which was a cooking competition to be judged by ghosts. That's how I got there. And
is it a real like competition show?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. It's a show where we go around to a couple ghost kitchens in Winnipeg, and ghost kitchens are kitchens where chefs are working out of like whatever spaces, and you can't go sit down at their restaurant and eat, but you can like order their food online and pick it up at the door, like that kind of thing. They got super big during COVID. But they were around before that. So we wanted to kind of like check out some ghost kitchens in the city. Often it's like chefs that are just starting out and they don't have their own space yet. Yeah. Because it's so expensive to go into the restaurant industry. Yeah. So we would go and meet these chefs and cook with them and taste their delicious food. And then we would go meet up with paranormal experts. So like ghost hunters or psychic mediums, and ask them how they go about finding ghosts. And then we...
Sorry. So there are two different types of ghosts in the Ghost Kitchen show. There's the actual ghost kitchen of the concept, yes, of a chef not, mm-hmm, having a restaurant. And then there's like actual paranormal ghosts.
Yes, that's what we are. And you know what? 5T was like, uh-huh. Yeah, we get that. We like that. And I can't believe it. It's one of those projects where everybody on the team had so much fun making it. And every day we would just be like, yeah, and this is going to be on TV. And that's great. Yeah. And I can't wait for somebody to just be flipping through the channels and stumble upon it and be like, wait, what?
So you eat the food that the chefs make with paranormal experts.
Well, I got to taste the food because I was the host. So I got to go around and interview them. I had all the perks. But really what they're doing is they're preparing a dish to try to impress a ghost that we're trying to get to show up to judge the cooking competition.
Oh, so everyone's there together, the chef and the paranormal expert. And the paranormal expert is describing a ghost that may be in this person's presence. And then the person makes the food for the ghost.
At the finale. First, yeah. It's all about gathering intel because we didn't really know going into it either what was going to happen, right? That's the nature of working with ghosts is you kind of have to do your best to try to get them to come to you. So that's why we met with some experts to try to find out how you would know if a ghost was in the room, how you would know if a ghost liked what you made for them. And then we do the finale in this old historical haunted house in Winnipeg with this ghost historian, and everybody comes together, and we stayed there filming till about 3 a.m. To try to figure out if some ghosts were going to come and try our food.
Oh my God. I can't believe TLC hasn't been on this earlier. I mean, this is great.
It's fun describing it right now. I just loved making it so much.
Yeah.
And I really hope that, I mean, it's just airing today. So I really hope that we have a warm reception to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to go watch it on Bell 5.
Yeah.
Bell 5 TV. Now I'm genuinely so interested in this now because I do love, I love those kind of medium shows where they're talking to the dead. Like I love that. So this is a really cool and creative show. And I'm wondering, where do you, as a comedian in Canada, like see yourself in the landscape of comedy right now?
In the graveyard. I'm in the graveyard. It's nighttime. All my friends are there. Playing with a Ouija board. There's charcuterie, but it's like spooky charcuterie. I don't know. I feel very DIY about my comedy career. Mm-hmm. And so, like right now, I moved to Toronto. I planned this tour to Alberta. It's my first time going out there for comedy. I'm going to be headlining a club in Lethbridge called Good Times. And then I am going to Calgary doing a couple shows and Edmonton doing a couple shows, trying to make the most of it. And then coming back here and maybe looking at doing a recording since I've just done so much. I'm thinking about starting a podcast because I love ghost stuff so much. I'm thinking about starting a podcast called Ghost Court, where I will have another comedian on to hear an unbelievable story from someone and kind of like judge it and pick it apart sort of thing. Yeah. You know, because I just had such a good time. I can't let the ghost stuff go. And it is what I love to do. And like, what a better way than to, I think that's a big part of comedy too, is like finding what you really love to do, combining the things you love to do, just pursuing whatever artistic project you feel excited about with the people you love to work with. Yeah. And going from there, yeah. That's how I see it. And I'm always trying to get into these things that will give me, I don't know, a bigger platform to do it on,
yeah,
like festivals and such. Trying to get in wherever I can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just a little tiny speck in the Canadian landscape, but.
But it's still an important speck nonetheless.
Yeah, like a little bean jumping up and down for attention.
Yeah. all right. Thank you so much for your time. The Zoom meeting is going to end, but we are going to do the Schmoment. So if we can just hop on the Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. I'll send you another link. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Welcome back to Schmodio. I'm a correspondent, Harmela, and this is the Oh Schmo You Don't segment in which we interview a non-schmo, also known as an expert in their field. Today, we have on Brianna Jergen, who is a social media influencer helping people lead happier lives. Today, she is here to promote her new book, Delusion Reversed, How to Find Your Happiness. Hi, Brianna. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm so excited to be here.
So, Bri, can you tell me a little bit about what you do on social media and what your book is about?
Yes, I would absolutely love to. So it's, you know, it started during the pandemic. Like a lot of people, I was spending a lot of time caught up in my delusions and my fantasies. And then when I would come back down to earth, I would be really disappointed because my life was terrible and I was stuck in a global pandemic. You know, I was depressed, I was unsatisfied, and I was like stuck inside my house. I wasn't traveling around Costa Rica with a man named Frank. One of my delusions. So I kept saying to myself, Brianna, you have to stop being so delusional. You have to stop with these daydreams because it's creating such disappointment with your reality. Mm. But that's when it hit me. Being delusional is actually the right thing to do. I was just being delusional in the wrong direction.
What do you mean by that?
Well, rather than deluding myself in my fantasies that my life was perfect and exciting and I was dating a man named Frank, I should really be deluding myself that my life is terrible, scary, and on the verge of collapse. That way, when I come back to my reality, I'm like, it's okay. You know, and there are so many unhelpful quick fixes out there, but what I share through Instagram is actually really helpful and actually works. And it's helped a lot of my clients. The point is to immerse yourself so heavily in the delusion that when you come out of it and back to reality, you're so grateful that your life isn't completely in shambles, that the reality with which you live seems so much better, and you become a lot happier.
Wow. I mean, fascinating. So in your book, you write about a 3-step process people can use to get long-lasting results and long-lasting happiness.
Absolutely. So I have developed, as you say, a 3-step process that takes about 2 months to complete.
What are those steps?
Well, there are 3 phases of reverse delusion, increasing in intensity each step of the way. The first round of delusion is called loveless marriage. So if you're struggling to find happiness, immerse yourself in the delusion of an incredibly unsatisfying loveless marriage.
So what does that mean to imagine? Like to empathize with people who are in loveless marriages?
Interesting. No. So what I write about is much more in depth. What I instruct my clients to do is to create an increasingly in-depth scenario. Who is your spouse? What do they do for a living? Where did you meet? Why did you fall in love? Why did you fall out of love? You know, so after you answer this series of questions, you'll follow my step-by-step guidelines further and further into delusion.
What are some of the guidelines?
Yes. So the delusion that you create for yourself has to be believable. So do what works for you. That's what I always tell my clients. What works for me and what works for a lot of my clients is putting a t-shirt over a large bag of rice and then just sticking it on your couch for the 2 weeks that you're falling further and further into the delusion, and just deluding yourself that this large bag of rice with a t-shirt on it is your good-for-nothing spouse. So over the course of this delusion, you begin to hate your partner, you begin to hate your spouse, and so over the course of this delusion, you'll convince yourself that you hate your spouse, they're not doing their fair share of the labor in the household, and you hate your life, right? So after this 2-week period, you're going to be so miserable. Then you snap back to reality. Your real life is fantastic and your mental health is incredible. And also, now you have an entire bag of rice you get to eat.
So what if you are already in a loveless marriage,
Brianna? Oh, good question, Harmela. God, I've never thought about that before.
No.
God, I guess try imagining that you're married to a werewolf. Oh, oh God, maybe not that. although is that anything?
It could be.
I guess I'll have to write another book. I'll keep you posted. You're putting me on the spot a little bit here. What's your next question?
My next question is, so the next level of delusion, the next scenario is called the deserted island Jimmy. Is that right?
Yes. See, I love this one because it's miserable, but it's fun. I mean, it's miserable, but it's kind of fun. So... this is the next step. It is more unbearable than the loveless marriage. The guidelines laid out in this scenario are as follows. Think about the most annoying kid from your grade 5 class. For me, it was Jimmy Clouseau. In my book, I use Jimmy as a kind of cipher, but whoever the reader is, they'll have one person that they connect to who is their Jimmy.
Mine is Justin Pillay. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Incessant nose picker.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a classic trait of Jimmy's as well. He was an attention seeker. He was obsessed with talking about women's breasts. And he thought all his jokes were funny, and I thought they were just quite derivative, you know? And he smelled like, what's it called? He smelled like drywall. So now imagine that the Jimmy that you grew up with, this Jimmy, he grew up to be a stockbroker. With no practical skills and just a terrible personality. Mm. Now imagine that you and Jimmy were in a plane crash together and you are the sole survivors. You have to live on this island with Jimmy, who once again has no practical skills. So you become responsible for keeping him alive while he constantly tells you that he would never date you because you don't have big breasts or any breasts at all, right? So... doesn't that sound insufferable?
Mm-hmm. yes. And how long do you stay in this delusion for?
So you stay in this delusion for 4 weeks. You know, you may need to book up some vacation days from your job to fully immerse yourself in this delusion because as it progresses, your faculties may become impaired. You're going to get dehydrated, and you may do things like pee in various houseplants around the apartment. But remember, 1 month of agony with Jimmy for a lifetime of happiness.
Lifetime.
Yes. The memories of these delusions will be so traumatic that every moment spent living outside of them will be blissful. And this is actually how trauma works.
Oh, is that right?
And the final delusion, the most intense and happiness-achieving scenario, is called the totalitarian government.
The totalitarian government?
Yes. So in this scenario, the client will live under a fake authoritarian regime that I have devised. I am the regime. And they will follow the rules of this government that I have spelled out. So this sometimes requires a little bit of legal paperwork, but boy, is it worth it. So authoritarianism is all about government control. In this scenario, the client's entire life is controlled according to arbitrary laws that, once again, that I create. So some of the laws include filling your house with cuckoo clocks, running around your block every 20 minutes. It includes only being able to listen to the Canadian national anthem, the only song you're allowed to listen to. One law is you're only allowed to have an iPhone 1. That's broken. And another law is keeping chickens in your apartment. Just a lot of chickens everywhere that you have to slaughter for food. So there's a wide range of laws, really, that one has to follow. But the point is, the government controls everything that you do, and joy is forbidden. This scenario runs for about 6 weeks, and as you can tell, is very intensive.
Wow. I mean, what happens at the end of the two-month period?
Well, at first it can be a little jarring for the client. You know, back-to-back-to-back delusions can be a little destabilizing. Mm. It can take up to a week for the client to fully come to, but when they do, boy, oh boy, I have never felt better.
So your clients are noticing long-term happiness?
The client is so happy to not be in a loveless marriage, to not be on a deserted island with the most annoying kid from their grade 5 class. And most importantly, people are so happy to have their freedom and to not live under fascist rule. So there's a lot to be grateful for in their lives because they're not living in their delusions. And it really allows them to become more peace with their – it really allows them to become more at peace with their realities. And I tell my clients, you know, throw out your medications because this will solve all your mental health problems.
I mean, you folks hear that. Throw them out.
Throw them out.
We throw them out. All of them.
All of them. Down the toilet.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Bree, thank you so much for joining us here today on Shmodio. You can get her new book, Delusion Reversed, on Amazon now. And for more tips to improve your happiness, follow her at Brie_delusion_reversed. Thank you for your time, Brie.
Thank you so much, Harmela. This was truly wonderful. And remember, folks, reverse those delusions.
You better.
Bye now.
Bye. Welcome back to Shmodio.
Do you
I'm a correspondent.
Hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections airs every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations and beyond. we encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Time for the schmoment. A schmo is an average person slash fool, because the most average thing you can do is be a fool. So I'm hoping, Angie, that you can share with me a time that you've embarrassed yourself in public, a time you've been a schmoment that you have had, whether it's from 10 years ago or from this past week, a time that exhibits your schmoiness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm flooded with painful moments as we prompt this question. And I'm going to tell you one that's long enough away that I can share it confidently.
Yes.
So
this is a safe space for
this safe space going out onto the radio. And when I was in university, I don't know why, but I picked up this horrible habit of when I was with my roommates or with my friends, if I would fart, I would say I farted. It was like, I guess we would all do it as a way of like, just taking responsibility for it right away.
Normalizing.
Just be like, oh, yeah, quickly after announcing, but like real quick, like I farted. I don't know if you ever did anything like that, or if you, what's your style when you fart?
It is to pause and acknowledge. There's always an important acknowledgement of the fart, and then we can move on. But it's important to acknowledge.
I like that. Yeah, accountability is important. Yeah. So I was in an exam in a big echoey exam hall where you're all crammed in close to each other. No. And it is silent. And I'm writing an exam and I fart. And as if that's not embarrassing enough, I then say, I farted. So whereas no one knew who it was, I then told everyone it was me.
Oh my God. So you're in a silent exam room with at least like bare minimum 60 people.
Yeah. And about 25 I had a crush on. It's university.
Yeah.
And I fart. And it's a moment of tense silence, everyone around, because everyone's like, oh my God, who was that?
Does everyone smell it or hear it or both?
Hear it. It is audible. I mean, it's, yeah, it's in a silent room. And then pause. I go, I farted. Seriously. And then in my mind, I remember feeling my whole body just get hot and red as I go like, oh no, how are you gonna get out of this one? So then a beat later, I go, just kidding.
Oh my God, saved it. You saved it. You're so smooth. That's
yeah,
great.
Actually, what you thought was a fart was a prank by me. You're the stupid idiot. You bought that, you dummy. Oh, it was. Yeah, one of my best moments. Just a real one of those, because like as someone who doesn't mind making fun of myself, a lot of the time embarrassing moments aren't too embarrassing, you know?
Yeah, they're almost like, yay, I have a great story now.
Yeah, but this one was truly, I just reacted in the moment and I did my best to save it. And that's it. So let that be a lesson. Everybody just don't ever acknowledge that you fart, because you never know we're going to be in a situation where you didn't have to.
Oh my God. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story. It's also a good life lesson, as you said, you know, don't tell a room full of strangers that you farted when no one knows who the culprit is. Yeah. I think that that's also an important lesson to remember as I enter into adulthood.
Yeah. Or own it and then have no choice but to go down this path, because you are a fool and the world knows it.
Don't be a coward about it. Don't you just be brave.
Yeah. Joke's on you. I don't use my degree at all, but I make fart jokes all the time.
So really it paid off is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I actually have a similar story.
Oh. So
It's not about a fart, but it's about like that area of the body. When I was in grade 10, all throughout high school, I would always need to go to the bathroom at the same time every day. And it was always around, we had this 20-minute period of silent reading. So it was a 20-minute period where there were no classes. Like everyone was just reading 9:20 a.m. I'm like, okay, great. Like, I'm not going to miss any class. I'm not going to miss anything important. Like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I was in a English class with my brother's friend, Eric, and me and Eric didn't like each other, but we sat next to each other. And like for months on end, we would like literally sit next to each other every other day and we would not speak because we did not like each other. But I would always at 9:20 get up and go to the bathroom and be gone for like the whole silent reading period. And then I would come back in time for class. And one day my best friend told me like, hey, I was added into this group chat. Eric made a group chat with all of our friends because we had some of the same friends. And he said, you know, Ruby goes to the bathroom every day Ruby leaves the class every day for 20 minutes at 9:20. Like, what do you think she's doing? Do you think she's pooping? I couldn't even be mad because it was so funny. Like, I wasn't even mad because it was just like such a brilliant prank. And I know it was supposed to be mean, but I was almost just like, I respect you for this.
Yeah. Yeah. What did your friend do? Did they like add you into the group chat, you know, like mid bathroom break, so you could be like, can confirm?
She just told me about it. It was actually a thing. I was kind of known for that. You know what I mean? Like,
for pooping.
Yeah, it was kind of like Ruby. Like, I was known. Like, Ruby has.
Yeah, some girls are in volleyball. I'm kind of into shit business.
It was like,
I'm not like other girls.
Like, I took long poops. Like, that was sort of where our interests lay. So I was sort of known amongst my friends as someone that like took long poos. Like, when I was
young. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's the stoner girl. There's the long poo girl.
It's just a classic high school archetype.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I was hanging out with my friends at home and I had to go to the bathroom, they would come with me into the bathroom and sit on the edge of the bathtub, because it would be like 30 minutes that we'd like not have to hang out because I'd be in the bathroom. So it was like,
yeah, and your best friends, like, you don't want to miss a thing. You can talk that whole time. Yeah. I still do that.
Yeah. Like, why would you waste 30 minutes being separated when she can sit on the edge of the bathtub and we can chat while I'm mm-hmm. sitting on the toilet? Like, we're both seated. You know what I mean? Like, we're both comfortable.
Oh, yeah. So, I have a whole bit about refusing to close the public bathroom stall door that I wish you had seen, because I feel like we would also relate on that.
That would be another thing that I would really, because I did that in grade 7 in Vancouver. Elementary school ends at grade 7. And mm-hmm. In grade 7, I was like, I'm the king of the castle. Like, if anyone walks in here, like, I own you. So like, I would never close the bathroom stall door in grade 7. Because
I love that's so mafia boss. They just walk by and you're eating like a huge T-bone steak on the toilet.
I've got a cigar. Small younger little wave. You keep moving past.
Yeah. Younger kids are like dabbing the meat juice around your chin, and you like gesture them in. They come ask you for stuff. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can't do that as a perk for being in grade 7, what can you do?
Yeah, like, what is even the point in being the oldest at the school? It was a sh moment, because he like truly outed me to like our whole friend group for like taking 20 minute long shits.
Yeah.
But again, I had to respect him for it. I was like, we're rivals, but mm-hmm. like, I can put that aside momentarily to shake your hand and say I respect you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. How did your relationship go after that? Did you tell him to his face? Did you join the group chat?
I never joined the group chat. And I was okay with that. It was short lived, you know. I don't think anyone remembered it, but I remembered it. I don't think anyone remembered it, because again, I was known for my poops, but it was memorable. It was obviously memorable to me. And going forward, the relationship was the same. We didn't really talk to each other.
All right. We are back to being live on Shmodio. Hello. That was my shmoment with Angie St. Mars, a Canadian comedian whose show Ghost Kitchen is out now on Bell 5. Go check it out. She's so funny. She's also a stand-up going on tour around Canada. Look her up, Angie St. Mars. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shmodio today. This was a long time in the making, getting this episode together over the course of exams and sort of rebranding what the show is. So thank you so much for listening. And you can hear us again every other week. So next week in this time slot is a show called Fruit Splash, also hosted by me. But the following week will be Shmodio back again with an interview with a comedian and a very real interview with a very real serious expert. All right. I hope you have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for listening. And CITR loves you. If you're feeling down, just remember, CITR, we love you. All right. Bye.